Good morning. Good morning. It's good to be with you guys this morning. Thanks for joining. Thanks for leaning in. I hope that you have a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. I know Jody was wrapped up in her blanket. That's what she said in the comments. So we're ready to worship. We're ready to hear from the Word of God. It's always an honor to be with you. It's always an honor to stand in front of you or in front of a camera in those instances. Bear with me because it's my first time doing anything like this. We're all trying and learning. I have Marty and Janelle with me, and it's been a really fun morning, I must say. So recently I've been reading a book called Revival Lectures from Charles Finney. And Charles Finney was a revivalist from the 1800s. And in that book, early on in the book, he asks a few questions. He says, do we take time to get ready for worship? Do we prepare our hearts and our mind for the worship of the Lord, for His presence, His holy presence? So I wonder if this morning we would just take a moment to close our eyes and to get ready for Him, to get ready for His presence. Because just because we're gathering online doesn't mean that God is less likely to speak. No, He's just as present, just as much on the move than He is when we can gather together. So why don't you pray with me? Lord Jesus, thank You that You're with us this morning. You're dwelling in our midst, moving actively. And we come humbly before You and we ask, would You fill us up? Holy Spirit, would You speak to us this morning? Holy Spirit, do what only You can do. We give You our attention, we give You our focus, our praise, and we lean into You today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen, amen. I hope that you're ready and expectant this morning. I don't know if you remember, but last year, I think Sharon interviewed me at some point, and she asked me what my favorite chapter of the Bible was, my favorite passage of Scripture. And I answered Ezekiel 37, which is what we're going to talk about this morning. And in the season, it has resonated with me a lot. I've been reading it over and over again and pondering over some of the words. And it's just been speaking to me because the Jews and the book of Ezekiel were going through something very similar to what we're going through right now. The Jews had been cut off from Jerusalem. They had lost the temple, the place where alone Yahweh dwelt, and they can't gather anymore. They've lost their place of worship. They've lost their comfort zone, their familiar place of worship. And so they were faced with a crisis of faith, of practice, and in the same way, we have been cut off from our place of worship. We can't gather together. We can't, in the same way that we were used to, we've lost our comfort zone. We've lost our routine, or we've been a little shaken by what's happening in the world. But in the midst of this, I don't know about you, but I think that a lot of people have been starting new things, trying new things, starting new routines, trying to find new activities or hobbies. So for me, I've been running a lot, long runs, just because it keeps me busy, it keeps me active, and I need that. And so I've been doing that. But every time I get ready to go on my run, it's this whole debate in my head of, oh, should I go? Should I not go? Like, I don't really want to, but then I know it would be good for me. What do I do? Like, and it's this constant back and forth conversation in my mind. And then our text, the hand of the Lord is upon Ezekiel. He brings him into this valley of dry bones, and it says that He leads him back and forth in the valley. And I think that's significant, and it's a good detail because it tells us that the Holy Spirit really wants Ezekiel to notice something about this valley. So He tells him and He shows him the misery of the land, the dry bones, and how there were many, many bones, as we can read it, and they were very dry. And so the Lord asks him, can these bones live? And this is the title of my message today. Ezekiel, do you believe that the story of Israel can still change? Do you believe that I can still restore Jerusalem? Do you believe that I can still transform this valley of dry bones, even if it looked impossible? And I don't know about you, but if I were in Ezekiel's shoes, I would be like, I don't know. Like, why would I know? Why would I have any idea of what you want to do, Lord? And here his answers tells us a little bit more about how he's experimenting this whole vision around him. He says, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. So Ezekiel's role within this whole second part of exile is supposed to guide them and to unite them and to make sure that they don't fall back into worshiping idols and all of these things. And so he doesn't know how to do that, and he doesn't know what's going on around him. He doesn't understand what the vision is all about yet. But one thing that he knows is that his God is sovereign. His God is sovereign, and he's faithful to keep his promises. So the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Ezekiel again, and he tells him to prophesy, to hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. And I like that. I like that he reminds Ezekiel of the power and the weapon that the word of God is. And so in this passage, there's a lot of future tenses. You will come to life. I will attach the tendons to you. I will make flesh come upon you. I will cover you. I will put breath in you. You will come to life, and you will know that I am the Lord. And I like this because this speaks of a promise that God is giving to Ezekiel. And he tells him, when you step out, when you say yes, when you obey my command, I will move. I will have my way into your situation. So God gives Ezekiel a promise, but it's Ezekiel's responsibility to hold on to it and to declare it. And in the same way, in the season, God gives us a promise. This is a season. This is not going to last forever. And he's our healer, our provider in the midst of everything going on. But it is our job, our responsibility to hold on to his promises and to declare them. And so I imagine Ezekiel looking around and at this valley of dry bones and listening to the word of God. And he's conflicted. Should I obey? Should I not? Just like I was conflicted with me going on a run or not. But then he obeys and he says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And what I like is that his obedience produces life. His obedience produces life. As I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. The bones came together, bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And there's this noise, something around him is shifting. So earlier this week, I went on a long run, and I was running, and I had my headphones on, and I was just listening, running away, doing my thing, trying to escape reality and all the screens a little bit. And as I was running, I suddenly heard those sirens, really, really loud sirens, and it got me distracted a little bit. I was like, well, okay, what is going on around me right now? And then this police car drove past me really, really, really quickly. I don't think I ever seen a police car drive that quickly. So it was kind of disturbing. So I looked back because the car was coming from behind me. And as I looked back, I tripped and I fell. And end of the story. But what happened here is that I got distracted. I got distracted because of a noise. And I think in this instance, I think Ezekiel would have gotten distracted a little bit, looking around, seeing all these bones and the sound, hearing the sound coming together. And I would have been scared. I would have been distracted. I would have lost focus. Maybe I would have forgotten that God was here in the first place and that's the reason why I was there. And so I think in the season, we can get distracted so easily, and I've been speaking to my housemates and to other people, having a few phone calls, and I know that a lot of people have, in the season lost sight of God a little bit because they've lost their familiar place of worship. They've lost the external things that feed their faith, and now they're kind of disoriented and they don't really know what to do and where to look. But then I love that the Spirit of the Lord comes back and he asks again to Ezekiel, prophesy, prophesy, declare life, because it's an ongoing thing. It's not you decide to prophesy once and it's all done. No, it's a every day, decide to speak life, choose life every day. And again, that debate, am I going to obey? Am I going to shrink back? Am I just going to walk through the valley and not do anything? Or am I going to prophesy? And then again, Ezekiel obeys. So in this season, we can look around and we can see what's going on. We can talk about what's on the news and the countries that are doing it really rough with COVID-19 and hearing about people losing their jobs and hearing about people dying and families not being able to grieve because they can't have a funeral. And all of these things really break my heart. But at the same time, we have an opportunity now to speak life and to declare life over those around us. And I think it's important for us to not wait for this crisis to be over to start proclaiming life. This is a today thing. This is a now thing. And I have this question for you. It's simply this. Why would you describe the crisis when you can declare his promises? We can remember and remind ourselves that God is sovereign and that he has given us a promise. So in the midst of uncertainty, change, unfamiliar territory, prophesy life. But I'd like to add one more thought, because this is a very individual thing. It's thinking of us individually as making the decision every day. But I think this is not just an individual thing, but a corporate thing. I believe that in this season, God wants to do something new here in Parramatta Core. He wants to ignite a fire, a fresh thing. He wants us to come alive and to start declaring life over us. Why would you describe the crisis when you can declare his promises? So I want to ask you another question now. What is your language in this season? Have you stopped running? Just like after I fell, when I went on my run the other day, I stood up and I walked for a few minutes and I was like, oh, well, my run is kind of ruined now. Should I finish it? My arm hurts. Do I really want to finish it? But I decided to finish what I had started. And just like that, I think this is the time to decide to choose a language that is uplifting, encouraging, and to focus on Jesus. On Christmas Day 1911, William Booth wrote a letter to two British officers serving in India. And he says, "But with regards to clouds so dark as those which I have referred, there are always, especially in young people, times when the enemy or some natural weakness suggests to the officer that it is no use. He has missed his vocation. He will never make anything out. He has made a fool of himself, and he's tempted to write to his friends, if he has friends, and tell them that he's going to give up." So here, an officer is feeling down. He's discouraged. And maybe this is your neighbor in this season. Maybe it's someone from your family. Maybe it's your housemate. So what is your language going to be? And then William Booth keeps going and he says, "Now it is worth a king's ransom in these moments of darkness for an officer who is influenced to come in and find out the good qualities of the downcast soul, spread them before him, cheer him up, and send him forward with a new life." We have a choice. We have a responsibility to choose life and to declare it over those around us. And I like what he says. I like what he says here. Find out the good qualities, spread them before him, cheer him up, and send him forward with a new life. So when we hear of people who are doing it rough, let's send them forward with new life. He goes on and he says, "I know how valuable such words of cheer have been to me in the years gone by. And I know also the fact that some of the first writers, speakers, and governors of men that the world has ever known have been subject to depression. But while you deal faithfully as to the sins and shortcomings of those under your command, cheer up the people, my comrade. Cheer them up again and again and again." Because when we decide to cheer up people, something happens. There is a rattling sound. And just like Ezekiel's obedience produced life, our obedience will produce life. The last part of today's text says, "Son of man, these bones are the people of Parramatta Core. Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. We've lost our place of worship so many times. We have gone through a journey of disorientation. We have lost Smith Street. We have lost Granville for a while. And now we're in the middle of this crisis. A people in exile, if you want." But then it says, therefore, prophesy and say to them, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord." And then it goes on to say, "When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it. I have done it." And I love that in the season, in a few months' time, we'll be able to look back on this season and say, the Lord has done it. He has been faithful. He has kept his promises. So for every single one, this is our responsibility. For us corporately, this is our responsibility. We will be a people who walk through the valley and just say what we see and complain and shrink back and point fingers. Or we will be a people who love, who declare life, and encourage people. We'll be a people who rise up from the ashes, who come alive and stand firm in the knowledge that God is indeed sovereign and he's faithful to keep his promises. So I want to ask you this last question. Can these bones live? So we're going to sing a song now. The song says, "Awake, awake, my soul. God, resurrect these bones." And I pray that you would sing this song as a declaration over your life, over our church, over the circumstances, and believe that God can do something. This is a little bit of a different response time, so just bear with us, and hopefully this will encourage you.